Aha's new single. I just feel so Alan Partridge when I have to say Aha on the radio. It genuinely is their new single, though, Foot of the Mountain. They've sort of returned back to what made them big and a worldwide success in the early 80s. Still got music coming up from Irma Franklin, Enrique Iglesias, Eric Church to you and me, and a bit of Savage Garden on the programme. Nicola will be along in about, 15 minutes time with the very latest weather details. A real changing picture today on that front. Right, are you concentrating? Are you sat down, cup of tea, cup of coffee, and about to give me your attention? HD ready, LCD, plasma. Am I speaking a foreign language? Or is it just gibberish? Maybe it's all crystal clear, and you know exactly what's hot and what's not when it comes to the world of digital television. Well, we've got it all for you today, because joining me are our self-styled digital doctors. Harry Shepherd joins us, along with Bill from the Dark Technology Club in Derby. Harry, your arrival today, eagerly anticipated. Now I have to say, how come you know about high-definition TV? Is it an area you work in, or just a passion for you?
It was originally an area I worked in. I used to do installs for the BBC and various things like that, strangely enough. But it's since then, since it's no longer my kind of main area of work, it's turned into more of a hobby than anything. But I've kind of made it my select task to just keep up with what's going on, and try and educate people as to what's good and what's not.
I was going to say, how do you keep up with what's going on? Because it seems to move at such a pace.
Well, interestingly, because it's a hobby now, it's more kind of enjoyable than it was. You know, so it's quite good fun.
You cannot move without going into an electronics store nowadays, with everything being labelled up full HD, HD ready. Let's drop back to the basics. We were making the move from analogue to digital.
Yes.
And that is still got to happen in this neck of the woods. We're basically having the way the pictures are transmitted switched over and the old analogue switched off.
Correct.
That's enough for most of us to get our heads round.
Yes. The first thing to remember is that digital isn't HD, and HD isn't necessarily digital.
Okay.
The two don't necessarily go hand in hand. It just so happens that digital technology is the easiest way of getting HD into the home.
Okay.
So digital's a good first step, but in order to get HD, there's a lot more that goes on top of that.
Right. Oh, heck. I probably shouldn't ask this question, because it's just going to cause complications. Can you get HD analog, then?
You can in the States, still. They actually transmit analog HD, and I think Japan did at one stage as well. But this was many years ago.
Right.
They're now all almost universally going over to digital HD.
With HD, we're talking about a very precise, very clear picture.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the easiest comparison to make is to buy a still camera, a normal photography camera, and we talk about megapixels.
Yes.
And it's a similar sort of pixel setup on a HD screen.
It is, yes. A full HD TV image is approximately 2 megapixels. So it's effectively like taking a 2 megapixel still image at 1/25th of a second. So you get 25 of these every second or
yeah,
whatever.
You see, there's the bit where we just go straight over my head. Okay, maybe that wasn't a good comparison.
Okay,
let's talk then about that full HD thing, because I've heard HD ready's worth toffee.
It can be HD ready simply means it can take an HD signal from one of the many set-top boxes that you can buy,
right,
and it will show it. It doesn't mean that it can show it in its full HD glory, if you like.
Okay.
HD ready simply means it can accept an HD signal from one of these boxes in order to actually see all of the detail that the broadcaster's probably transmitting. You need to actually look for that full HD sticker that's on the TV.
And technically, what's going off, because in my head, when I was looking at tellies in the run up to Christmas, I such a girl. I really wanted a white surround TV, and my options were very limited. And I ended up investing heavily with 1080,
yep.
So I am full HD.
Yes.
Because the other white telly, which was 40-inch, too big for my living room, was only 720. Now, mm-hmm. Is 720, that relates to a HD ready?
Correct. It's actually the number of lines, horizontal lines, you see running up the screen.
Okay.
If you've got 720, that's 720 lines running up the screen.
Well, you see, we can't see them though, can we?
You can't really see them,
okay.
Unless you kind of sit half an inch from the screen and look carefully.
Right.
However, with 1080, you've got roughly twice the number of lines or thereabouts, or two-thirds the number of lines again.
So I was trying really hard at this stage,
you did very well.
To understand. And the lovely, and he was a lovely, very, very nice man in the shop, said to me, well, yes, but actually, Miss Naylor, the difference between 720 and 1080 is pretty hard for the average human eye to detect.
I would sort of go along with that, actually. It's one of these things that if it's like if you can tell the difference between an MP3 and an original CD. If you are that kind of person, you can spot it a mile off. If you just want to see a picture, you may not notice it. It's very, very subjective, like anything in this world. So unfortunately, you can't go straight away and say, you know, any one technology is better for that particular person. If you can get away with a lower standard and it won't cost as much and you're happy with it, as long as you're happy with it, that's fine.
Okay, so we are going to want the best. Everybody's going to strive for that 2 inches bigger telly or that, you know, full HD rather than... Is it going to go up further? If we've seen 720 move to 1080, is 1080 going to move to 1300?
There are two movie industry standards called 2K and 4K, which are effectively 2000 line and 4000 line respectively.
Wow.
But they are, at the moment, only movie standards.
Yeah, come on, they're for cinema screens. We can't see the difference there.
But it is quite a nice idea to think that they're going there. Realistically, though, for the consumer market, there hasn't been any murmurings of any displays like that in the near future. So I think you're pretty safe with 1080 for the moment.
Okay. Now, what we do need to explore, and we're going to get break for some music, just to let your brain have a little bit of a, you know, processing moment, and mine as well, for that matter. We're going to have some David Gray. But after that, I want to talk about, we've sort of the telly side of things, the receiving of high-definition television, which is, again, another area. We'll be back with Harry to find out more about that after Babylon.
Mid-morning music and conversation with Alina on BBC Radio Derby.
We're going to break to catch up with Nicola in a couple of minutes' time. If you're just joining us, then, with Harry Shepherd, and we're going to be talking about the Dark Technology Club, of which he's a member, and has recently done a talk to about high-definition television. Now, we've covered, if you like, the actual solid TV part. What we now need to discuss is, just because you've got a HD telly doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get high-definition pictures on it. This is where I get confused. How do we get those pictures to come through?
There are various ways now of actually receiving HD. They split up into two categories. There's the free way, which is always nice, and then there's the pay-per-month way. The free way at the moment is basically one option, which is FreeSat. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, I believe BBC HD are possibly the only easily accessible broadcaster on there. ITV are also running a pilot HD service. But unfortunately that's not its own channel yet, that's actually just accessible from the red button, when you see it appear, it's like the top left hand corner of some of the images.
Oh, okay.
But for
And this is FreeSat, not FreeView, this is FreeSat, via the satellite.
Yes, this is via satellite. But it is a non-subscription satellite service.
Yeah.
Along with all of the subscription Sky style programming that you get, there are also a lot of free channels that get transmitted down at the same time. All the BBC's content, all the Channel 4's content, and many, many other independent broadcasters as well, are actually free-to-air on satellite. So all you need is a satellite dish, a satellite receiver, which you can buy from various retail outlets now, and if you're feeling brave, you can actually install it yourself.
Oh.
So it's not too bad.
And then the other side of this is the pay monthly.
Correct.
Obviously, we've got Sky, and then it's Virgin who've taken over a lot of the cable services.
Yes, Virgin took over Telewest and I think it was Diamond Cable and various of the other kind of cable companies that are in the area. They've now effectively become one large cable company, and they take a lot of Sky's programming and deliver it via standard cable into your house. But they are now rolling out HD services as well.
Now, when we talk about HD services being rolled out, isn't it that they have to be shot on HD cameras in the first place? So we're not going to see a sudden shift that everything's going to come through to our screens in HD, because those, you know, episodes of Quincy were just not shot that way.
Well, no, absolutely. But strangely enough, much of the older bits and pieces of television that were shot on film, because films are much higher resolution than standard video. a lot of the older stuff you can actually get in HD now, because all they do is they rescan the film at a higher resolution, and you've immediately got HD content from stuff that's...
You've got the quality to use.
Correct.
How interesting.
However, the BBC, ITV, Channel 4 have been shooting a lot of their dramas and various bits and pieces like that on HD for many years now. Mainly to effectively to protect their content, so it's still worth playing in the future when everybody has HD. So they've actually been shooting in HD for quite a while, and so all of that back catalogue is generally available in HD as well.
Speaking about this with, you know, folks I know who are a little bit more technology minded than me, I got told yesterday that actually the HD that's coming into our homes is not at 1080 standard, and it's not basically because the digital technology cannot deal with that amount of information that it requires to broadcast it to us in that format.
It depends how pedantic you want to get. There is a what's called frame resolution. I'm going to have to go slightly technical
here. Okay, I'm just trying to stick with you though. I'm trying to come along for the journey, Harry.
A full HD frame is 1920 pixels, little dots, by 1080 pixels up.
Hence is getting the 1080 thing.
Hence 1080. A lot of the broadcast HD is actually broadcast at 1440 by 1080. So there are fewer dots along the bottom than there are up the side. What actually happens, you don't necessarily notice this, but you're actually reducing the amount of resolution, the amount of detail that you get on the horizontal line on the television.
Okay.
You won't really notice this because the TV or the set-top box, what's called upscales, it takes that lower resolution picture and stretches it to fit the TV again.
Although
yes, it's not true HD, it's a deal better than anything else you're going to be getting. So while it's not strictly proper HD, it's near enough. And you'll be very hard pushed.
Let's face it, it's still enough for the newsreaders to worry about their pimples and their wrinkles being shown up on screen, isn't it? Before I finish with you, I need to ask, just because a little bird's been twittering in my ear. Yes, it was one of our engineers here at Radio Derby. I've got to ask you about LED television.
Yes.
Oh, just when I thought I was getting my head around something, it moves on again. Light emitting diode television.
Correct. There are three main display technologies. LCD is one of the most prominent at the moment, along with plasma technology. LCD works by having a light through which that shines through effectively a screen of little red, green and blue pixels that can turn on and off. So you effectively stop or let through red, green and blue light as you go. Plasma works like having loads and loads and loads of ordinary tube televisions, but very, very tiny, all rowed up next to one another. So it works in a very similar manner, but just lights up each pixel, you know, it's like a little mini TV tube per pixel.
Okay, I've never understood that before. This is ace, yeah.
And finally, LED technology uses the same kind of things like you might have on your phone, you know, those little blue LEDs that flick every now and again to tell you that your phone's on. They have many, many thousands of those rowed up for each individual pixel on the screen. Now, this is a new and emerging technology. They have something called OLED, which is organic LED.
I'm giving up now.
It's a very thin, very light, very flexible display technology. It produces very little heat, it's very, very thin, and it can effectively produce display panels that are of a much smaller size, depth-wise, than any technology that we've got at the moment, simply because there's only one component in it, pretty well, in the display.
It's going to cost a fortune, isn't it?
It's an emerging technology, so at the moment, yes.
I'm not about to walk into Currys or wherever and go, OLEDs, that's what I'd like to look at. They're going to go, what?
There are a couple of manufacturers that have them out at the moment.
Seriously?
But they are very, very...
Lottery wins.
They are,
purchases.
Basically, at the moment, yes.
Okay.
It's not a mainline product yet.
Hey, look, we are going to break there to speak to Nicola and get the very latest weather details. I'm going to return to Harry and also to Bimal to find out more about what's coming up at the Dark Technology Club. If this has whetted your appetite, trust me, it's just one tiny element of all sorts of areas of interest that they go into. But let's just have a word with Nicola, because we did say earlier, it's a real changing pattern today weather-wise, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and that's why we've got forecasts for you right through the day. In the sunshine that we're going to see tomorrow.
Lovely, I like the sound of sunshine. Thank you very much indeed. Hey, this lunchtime you're with Alina. I'm also joined by members of the Dark Technology Club. We've been getting the wisdom from Harry on high definition television. Colin from Newell's been on, Harry, and says, will it ever be possible to get HD through the aerial?
Yes, in a word. It is this is one of the things that's being introduced with the whole digital switchover. At the moment, analog television channels are sitting in the middle of what is effectively prime real estate for transmission area. What the government's trying to do with the whole digital switchover thing is to effectively clear up the airwaves, if you like.
Make some space.
Absolutely. Once that space is available, you can get, normally, for standard definition, you can get between 4 and 8, possibly even 10, standard definition TV channels in the same airspace that you get a single analog channel.
Gosh.
So there is a big incentive to get for the government to effectively clear out the airwaves and go over to digital technology. Now, there are all sorts of pros and cons to that, which I won't go into here because it gets quite political at some point. But there are certainly proposals to have effectively FreeView HD, so standard digital terrestrial HD, to be trialled. It's certainly been done already. The BBC were transmitting BBC HD from their Crystal Palace transmitter until, I think it was May 2007, I think.
Mm.
They did as a one trial in London. It might be 2007 or 2008, I can't remember. But certainly on what they have done, a FreeView HD trial, just to prove that technology can work, and that went very successfully. So the technology is there, and it is. We're basically just waiting for digital switchover now.
It is a fascinating subject area, and I know one we will be touching upon again. If it's got you interested today, well, let's just mention to the fact that both guys today are members of the Dark Technology Club in Derby. We heard them on the checklist yesterday, meeting at Weston-on-Trent. What else have you got coming up? Because, Harry, you've done your spiel to the club, but you've always got a programme lined up, haven't you?
Absolutely. We've got the programme planned until the end of the year. September, we don't have a meeting in August. We actually let everybody have a summer holiday, which is fair enough. The September meeting, which is on the 14th of September, we'll be talking about Windows 7. The next version of Windows.
Oh, I've got a friend who is Mr. Mac conversion, just absolutely, and went to some seminar about, he does work in IT, and he was so excited about it, and I'm thinking, wow, I need to sit up and pay attention. If Guy's loving this, there's got to be something in it.
We actually have Mac users in the club, and we've actually had a presentation about migrating from Windows to Macs.
Oh,
so
okay.
If there was demand, we could probably get something else on for that.
Windows 7 comes September.
Yeah, it's released on 22nd October, so the meeting will give everybody the gen on pluses, minuses, costs, good points, bad points, is it worth doing it, that sort of thing. In October, we're going to be talked to from Professor Stuart Marsh, who is going to be talking about Earth observation technology development in the British Geological Survey.
Oh.
Because the British Geological Survey is actually based in this general sort of area, the Nottingham area. So he's going to be talking about all of the technology they use to get all the facts about the Earth and all the geological issues that relate to that.
Now, you don't have to have a brain the size of a planet to become part of the club, do you?
No, not at all.
So just explain what
you just want to. Basically, if you just want to find out more about the bewildering array of technology that's out there, and you want to find out about things, and you want to be able to ask people that are easily approachable questions and get sensible answers, I mean, you can hear that Harry can explain anything to anybody brilliantly well. And the club is full of people that have areas of expertise and are happy and willing to share it with other people.
So by the website, by the way, DARC, if you're going to do a quick Google search. But basically, it's a regular meet at Weston-on-Trent.
Yes, it is.
Well,
yes,
look.
Usually the second Monday of every month.
I've got to say thank you so much for being with us yet again, and thank you for displaying and dispelling some myths for us surrounding high-definition television. Still to come on the programme today, we meet the man who reckons we're all really, really rich. I don't know if we're rich enough to buy one of those OLED TVs, but he reckons we just don't know how rich we are. We'll find out how he's translated everyday things into monetary worth and how we all need to apparently start appreciating it a little bit more. Sounds a bit new agey to me. We'll give Steve a bit of a going over when he joins us on the programme in about 10 minutes' time. Right now, then, let's get the lowdown on what's happening on the road.